Welcome, Superpower Success Community. So glad to have you back here with us today. We've got a great topic that I need to hear personally, and I know that is something that's going to be really valuable for all of you. But before we start the discussion, I wanted to share something that I'm really proud of that we've created that's having huge impacts for people that work with us, and it's our six-month Business Builder Coaching Program. And what we've done is built a specific curriculum that's all about getting you focused and driving real growth in your business quickly. It's like an energy shot for your business to get you moving towards success, but we want to get you there with greater velocity. And the whole curriculum is specifically designed for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small business owners who are stuck and want to give their business a jump start to start growing at an accelerated pace. So we talk about the topics that you need to be able to get unstuck, because we've got that experience and we can help you get where you want to get a lot faster. So if you want more information on that, as always, you can go to our website, KeystoneGroupINTL.com, email us at info@KeystoneGroupINTL.com, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Jamie Tates, and I can get you connected and all the information that you need. So let's get to the topic of the day. So hopefully the name of the podcast drew you in, because it's an intriguing thing that all of us deal with, which is the art of delegation. How do you delegate effectively? How do you make that work for you? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'll tell you, this is clearly something that I have struggled with. And I don't ever think you get it down perfectly. I think it's part of life, and it's part of just knowing when that point is when you should start consider delegating. And when we're talking about delegating today, we are not just talking about delegating from a business standpoint or your day-to-day tasks in your job. We're talking about personally as well. For the people who are just trying to manage a household and trying to figure out, you know, what should we be doing versus what we should be delegating. And I think so many people don't look at it holistically like that. And so today I've got Matt here with us. And Matt Engelman is the owner of Three Rivers Tax Service. So he's a guy that can be delegated to for the things most of us, no offense, Matt, most of us don't like, which is taxes. He loves that. But he's also an expert on just helping small business owners look at their business, helping people look at their lives and figure out which things they should be delegating. So not just tax stuff, but beyond that. And that's why I thought this was such an important message for us today to really talk about. So Matt, thank you for being here. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to our listeners.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and so if you would just start with kind of an overview of your business. I talked about it a little bit, your experience, and how you got here, and why you're such an expert at helping people understand the value of delegation.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So I've been in business now for 13 years in the tax, accounting, and financial space. And I started the business from scratch, meaning no clients. And you go out and you find them, and you kind of figure things out as you go. And one of the things I found is my struggle is at the beginning, I could make all these promises and do all these things. But what happened is as my obligations grew, as I brought on more clients, all of a sudden I was in a spot where I had to figure out, oh no, what do I do now? And how do I do it cost effectively? And so delegation, I think you said it well, right at the top of the podcast, it's never something that you get perfect. But I think I've gotten a lot better at it over the years, and I'm happy to share some of what's helped me get here.
Because this is the Superpower Success Podcast, right, Matt, and we talk about superpowers, I'm just curious what you believe one of your superpowers are, because I think it's always important for our audience to understand other people's superpowers.
Yeah, great question. I would say my core strength, my superpower, is taking complex issues and trying to make them into simple systems. There's somebody in the financial services industry who was actually a life insurance agent, one of the most successful ones in the history of the industry. His name was Ben Feldman. And he had a book that was out I read a number of years ago. And there's not a whole lot I remember about the book, but there was one saying in there that always stuck with me and really became a model for my business and my personal life. And it's this saying: if it's a problem, turn it into a system. And if you have a simple system you can follow, it's no longer a problem. And so I'd say that's my superpower, taking the complex and turning it into a simple system.
That's just a good thing for all of us to remember, right? And how we look at problems, because I think as business owners, just in our personal lives, problems are what derail us from progress, right? From successes, we hit the mm-hmm. obstacle and we don't know how to get through it. You know, we try to go around it, and there's just some things you have to just go through, right? And you've got to figure it out. And so how do you do that? And so having a superpower like that for people who don't, right, think in that way, it's great to have someone in your circle, right, in your advisor group mm-hmm. that can help you think about the systems that way. So what is the value of delegation, right? When you think about delegation just in life in general, and when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about the day that I hired a house cleaner, and I know that just sounds so ridiculous, but I run a company, 4 kids, soccer mom everywhere. I mean, the day I hired a housekeeper was like this glorious point in my life where, yes, it costs money, but I was like, this changes my life. And that sounds so ridiculous, but for those of you who have gone through that, it really does. And so that's one small example, but it's not just in your business, right? It's in life in general. And what is the value of delegation? What do you see with your clients when they're able to do that delegating?
Yeah, great question. Ed, to me, delegation at its core comes down to really two things. One, there's only 24 hours in the day, meaning we all have the same amount of time, and it's limited, right? It's a very finite resource. And the second thing is, certain activities are a higher payoff than other activities. And just like you said, business is one thing, but in my personal life, and I suspect in your listeners' personal life, it's the same thing. So then you have to ask yourself, okay, what are my personal higher payoff activities? Good health, eating right and exercising could be it for you. It could be your family, making sure you're spending time with your spouse, having date night, being at your kids' activities. It could be spending time with friends. Those activities bring a high reward and a high payoff. But I think what I've found, and I would guess most people find, is there's all these other things that need to get done. You brought up the example of cleaning your house, mowing the lawn, painting the house, whatever it might be. There's all these other activities that have to get done, but they take away from the other activities. And so to your point, if you can delegate out the lower payoff activities that are still important, but lower payoff so that you can reap the rewards on the higher payoff activities, I think there's a lot of value to that.
I could not agree more. And even just thinking about this, one thing that I do with my coaching clients, whether they own a business or they're in a career, is when we talk about this, I make them calculate their dollar per hour value. And whether that's to your family or to your business. And what is that dollar per hour? And usually when they look through that and they see it, it's a much higher number than what it takes to have someone do your bookkeeping or have someone, you know, restain your deck. Or, you know, all of those things. And it really puts it in perspective for them that your time is more valuable than some of the things that you spend a lot of your time doing. And specifically small business owners, they, you know, when you start, and like you said, it's just you just do everything, right? It's all on you. And there comes a point where just doing everything in your business 100% impedes the growth of your business. And the problem is most of them don't realize it until it's too late, right? Where they haven't had the growth they need. And the first question I usually ask is, you know, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? What are all of those things? Yeah. And if you're spending 5 hours a week on bookkeeping or even 5 hours a month on bookkeeping, what is that? What's the cost to your business, to your career, to whatever it is? So I'm curious what you think the main reasons are why people don't delegate when they actually should. What keeps them from delegating?
In my opinion, Jamie, I'd say there's really two things. One is I think it's easy to fall into the trap of I can do it myself because I can do it faster and I'd have to take the time to train somebody. And the reality is when you do delegate off a task to somebody, at the beginning, it's probably not going to be the same quality of work as you're used to doing. It's you're receiving delegation. But with the training and a little bit of time, that person will be able to do it just as well as you, if not even better. And so it is a little bit of a time investment up front. It doesn't have to be substantial, but there is some time investment. The other end of it is, again, work quality is one, and then the not wanting to take the time to train somebody. I combine them into one there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Budget is another one that I think about, and back to the dollar per hour is just helping them understand what that cost is to send it to somebody else versus their dollar per hour. And you know, you talk about kind of the time to do it. And most of us, as we're growing a business, as we're growing our careers, we undervalue the time component and what our time is worth. And what I tell a lot of people when we work with them from a coaching standpoint to kind of get them unstuck is where are you spending to your time? Because I believe time management is not really the issue. And actually, I did a little bit of a soapbox podcast a few weeks ago because I'm hearing this so often, and train yourself on how to be better at managing your time. And what I believe is time management's not the issue. It's the choices you're making. So you're choosing to do something else instead of work out in the morning. All of us have the same 24 hours in a day, and it's how you choose to use those hours and what's the biggest impact for you, whether it is time with your family, time with your spouse. And we forget to kind of nurture those things that are actually going to help us sustain us in our business and our careers, because we've got this really healthy foundation, and instead we make decisions that burn us out and just get us to a point where we can't focus on the bigger picture. And I think that that's a big thing. And the other thing that you said that's really interesting to me and really ties back into what we talk about in our superpowers is when you delegate, you're delegating to someone who has that for a superpower. They are really good at what they do. You, for example, a bookkeeper, you know, all of these people, when that is nowhere near a superpower that I have, nor do I ever want it to be. And so it's also looking at what you're really good at and what makes you money, what progresses your career, what makes you happy, is spending more time in those superpowers and pushing things that are not in there to someone who actually enjoys it and can be in their superpower and do the best work for you. So I think it's hard, and I agree with you, the control, and it's going to take time. But when you really look at it, you're helping people stay in their superpower and giving it to somebody that can do that best work. One question that I get a lot from our coaching clients is, especially small business owners and entrepreneurs, and I know you work with a lot of those type of people, is they believe that they need an employee to delegate. So when we look at their functions of their business and say, what's really going to get you growth? It might be outsourcing your marketing to somebody, because you're not really a good marketing person, and that's not what you should be doing. You should be building, you know, doing what you're good at. And they think they need, you know, they're like, who am I going to delegate to? There's nobody in my business but me. And do you get that a lot? And is it really true that you have to have an employee to delegate that really effectively?
No, it's absolutely not true. And this was a stumbling block for me as I was getting off the ground. I looked at it and said, okay, if I want a good full-time assistant, let's just say I was going to pay that person $30 an hour. If I want that person 40 hours a week at full time, that's about $5,000 a month I would have to outlay. And I looked at that and thought, well, it's just not happening. And I got some really good advice that I think applies to a lot of small business people trying to decide, do I hire an employee? Is it an all or nothing proposition? And the answer is it doesn't have to be. You talked about listing your specific tasks and what you do on a daily basis. I think there's some value to that. Again, the higher payoff activities. And so the advice I got was to color code my calendar. The green activities were my most profitable activities. Seeing clients, or maybe at a networking event, marketing for new clients. And then the low payoff activities were the red activities. Those are your administrative type tasks, the really basic ones, scheduling, sending out letters. It can take all sorts of different forms depending on your business. And then I have a third category called the orange category, which is essentially those tasks that are a little bit harder to outsource. You can outsource it to the right person, but it's a higher trained skill level. And I think a good starting point for most people that are starting to feel the time crunch and the pressure, take a look at those red tasks. What are those basic administrative tasks? And then start offloading those. And you can do that one or two at a time. Again, we don't have to hire a full-time employee. We can find there's a huge market of people out there that would love to work from home, especially, but even come into your office, and they'll take on one or two tasks. You can train them on how to do it, and we can certainly speak more to that if you'd like, Jamie. And again, just as your business grows, your cash flow improves, you can outsource more of those tasks. And so it can grow incrementally as you grow your business and have more time freedom to spend on those higher payoff activities.
I couldn't agree more. And we are doing a lot of education, and you really hit on this about kind of what's being touted as the gig economy, right? These people that are looking for part-time work and don't necessarily want a full-time 40-hour a week career or job. And you're starting to see the labor market change, where a lot more people are going independent, where I have bookkeeping experience, or I have marketing experience, or tax experience, and I'm going to go out on my own, and I'm just going to find a number of clients to just work with, right? And do it fractionally is what they're talking about. And that's where it's going. And so it's very typical, right? You're not going against the norm by hiring somebody like that, like you said, to come in for 5 hours a week to help with something, because there's a lot of people that are doing that. It's not as hard to find them, I don't think, as it was in the past. There's a lot more of them out there. And that's certainly something, you know, for those people who are listening who are like, I really should look at that. Matt's a great resource because he really understands that whole, you know, contract. Where, how do I find an independent contractor? How do I find a virtual assistant? Because that's sometimes the best place to start, especially with a VA or a virtual assistant, just to help get some of those things off. And I love the idea of color coding. That's something I don't do, but I certainly should do. The busier and busier I get is I feel like at the end of the day, like, what did I accomplish? Because it just feels like it's a rat race most days. And being able to color code and really use your time wisely and know where it's going, right? Make a conscious time decision and choice on where you're going to spend your time. You talk about hiring a contractor, and this is more for personal experience for me, right? An assistant and how to find someone to get that off your plate. I think there's a common misconception that hiring an assistant, hiring a contractor, it's going to take more time than it's worth because of everything you have to teach them, how you get them operating the way you would, responding to things the way you would, and all of that. So help us kind of with this myth. Is that actually true? And what do you see with your clients when they take that step?
It has been a myth. And in my experience and in my clients' experiences, when we look at it, it depends what the task is. Again, normally we're going to start with those easier to understand red type tasks out of the gate. And from a practical perspective, you probably want to have some sort of independent contractor agreement. Very simple. There's all sorts of templates out there, or you can talk to a good attorney. The second end of it is you just, there's one basic tax form to get and you're off and rolling. And as far as training, what really shocked me is how easy that is with technology these days. There's all sorts of different software platforms out there that are very inexpensive. And what you can do is when I do a task that I want to outsource, I just record myself doing it on my computer. They can see my screen. I talk through the instructions. I click save. And then I send it to who's ever going to do it. And if they have questions, we can walk through it. But usually it's very self-explanatory because they have the video tutorial on how to do it. And if that person moves on or isn't the right fit at some point, that video tutorial is there for the next time that somebody is going to take over that task. And so it takes you just a slight amount of extra time at the beginning when you record it, but then it's off your plate forever. So really, it is very simple to get started, just outsourcing a few tasks.
Okay, I hate to admit it because that's such a simple thing, but you just kind of blew my mind on that, like recording myself doing something. I use video all the time. I've never thought about how repeatable that is. And I think that fear is I'm going to spend 10 hours or 20 hours with this person, getting them up to speed. They're not going to work out. And those 20 hours for as a small business owner, that's a lot of time and money. And then I'm going to have to redo it. But the video piece, it's brilliant. Like, it's so simple. I love that. I'm using it. Thank you. My clients are going to love that. So I appreciate you sharing that. What it is so ridiculously simple that I'm kind of ashamed to even say I had never thought of it before. But that's how, again, we can all learn, right? That's part of this podcast,
right?
Is we're all kind of having those moments. So one last kind of question that I want to ask you, because I do think the cost piece, it really plays in to people, you know, as I say, kind of taking that first leap into having somebody else truly, whether it's personal or in your career or in your business, like whether it's somebody to clean your house or it's somebody to come in and do your administrative work. How many of us do it ourselves because we believe it's cheaper. And I think that's a belief more than it is a fact. How do you help people kind of change their mindset, but also put together kind of a plan to assess the ROI on making a decision like that, right? Financially, like what it looks like. What's your guidance?
I would say most of us conceptually understand the concept. Just like you said, Jamie, you've got an X amount of dollars an hour. when you're doing your high payoff activities. And then on the lower end, all those other tasks, you can hire out for much less. So the math's there. The problem is the budget. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith to get started on it. And so I think starting small is a really good way to go. Maybe you just budget out $200 a month, $300 a month, whatever it is. Just start a budget for outsourcing some of those tasks. And I guarantee once you get into it, you're going to see the power of it. And not only, and in the business sense, your revenue is going to grow. Or in the personal sense, like you mentioned with the cleaning service, it sounds like you'll never give that up after experiencing it. So I think just finding a way to put it in the budget, the math should be fairly self-evident, and give it time to work.
I love that. And, you know, you use the word, it takes a little bit of faith, right, to start it. Mm-hmm. And then you really quickly start to see the results. But you, you know, especially as a small business owner, you have to realize that it's not necessarily an expense. It may be from a tax perspective, but it's an investment, because that time, again, your valuable time is going to be spent on actually growing the business and doing those tasks, the networking and the meeting with people and those things that are going to grow your business. You being in your office doing administrative tasks is never going to grow your business. And it's just like, I love that it's just, you're just saying a couple $100 a month, right? Start that way and then see, and then grow from there. So I think that's great advice. Question for you. Do you think that you can over-delegate? Do you ever see that with your clients? For people who are fearful that I'm going to do it too much, like the people that really don't like those activities, have you seen over-delegation be an issue?
I think it's much rarer to see over-delegation than under-delegation. That being said, I think it depends a little on your business model, especially if you're in a service business and you're the one your clients are used to working with on the high payoff activities. If you delegate out the relationship end, I think that can be dangerous territory for a lot of businesses. And so as the business owner, you have to look at, again, what are those key payoff activities? And some of those I think you do want to retain. But for the most part, I would say, again, under-delegating is way more of an issue that I see than over-delegating.
Perfect. Okay. And that totally makes sense. The relationship piece is, you know, if the business gets to that point or you need more of that, it does make more sense to find someone, right? If you're getting to that point that can own that relationship and be more of an employee or be at least be more engaged with your business, not just a few hours a week here and there. So I think that's great. That's great advice. So I know this has been intriguing because I know it has shifted my mindset. So I guarantee it has for our listeners and the people that are listening. So Matt, if people want to get more information on how they can, you know, use your services, get more of your advice, like how can they get more information on you and how you can help?
Yeah, thank you. The quickest way to find me is just go out to my website. It's the number 3riverstax.com. And my phone number, my email, my contact information is all out there, and I'd certainly welcome a conversation.
Awesome. Thank you. And for everybody listening, we will make sure and put that in the description of the podcast. So if you want that information and you're driving or doing whatever else you do while you listen to podcasts, like most of us, that information is all there for you. So you can reach out to Matt if that makes sense for you. And so again, as always, Superpower Success Community, I appreciate you engaging in these podcasts. I appreciate the feedback that we're getting on the people we're bringing on who are just real people with real experience, real successes, and real failures. And they're helping us learn and grow in different ways. And that's the whole purpose of this is helping you define your definition of success, whatever that looks like for you, and then making sure that you're using your superpowers optimally to get there. That's what we want. So if you like this, if you're not already subscribed, make sure and go out and subscribe so that you get the latest and greatest every time we drop a podcast. And if you love this discussion or other podcasts that you're listening to, please leave us ratings and reviews, because what that does is helps us drive future topics. We know what is really intriguing to you. We know what you like listening to. And so we can bring more of that on here. So again, I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you being here. Go out there and make sure today you're using your superpowers for good and that you're really driving towards your definition of success. Thanks, everyone.